This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Kelly Fedoric with us on the show. Kelly is litigation staff counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom, or ADF, in its Washington, D.C. office, where she serves on the marriage litigation team. We're going to be talking today with Kelly about the escalating threat to religious liberty in North Carolina since the federal courts overturned our state's marriage laws, including our Marriage Protection Amendment, and ordered local officials to begin issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Now, we've been hearing more and more reports of court officials, particularly magistrates and registers of deeds, who are being forced to choose between their jobs and their faith. So we want to talk to Kelly about this and what individuals can do to protect their First Amendment right to live out their faith in the public square, especially as it relates to marriage. Kelly, thanks so much for being with us on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's great to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back, and we appreciate your time and just the wisdom that you have on this issue in particular. Now, Kelly, earlier this month, the North Carolina Administrative Office of the Courts issued a guidance memo to magistrates across the state, which said that refusing to marry a same-sex couple for any reason is not only grounds for suspension or removal from office, but potentially criminal charges. Is this advice accurate, in your opinion?
Well, you know, we're facing a very interesting time in North Carolina and across the country. I think the bottom line is that no one should have to choose between violating their conscience and being able to maintain their job, continue to maintain a livelihood. In North Carolina, the situation is with the magistrates seems to suggest that they might have to contend with the North Carolina Code of Judicial Conduct. And with that brings up a variety of potential issues. So it seems that if a judge were to cease solemnizing all marriages, that should be able to assist them in not violating their conscience while still being able to continue their other duties. Because under the law of North Carolina, magistrates, they may solemnize, but it's not a requirement. So it seems that this would, you know, obviously be something taken on a case-by-case basis, but there are ways for magistrates to continue to fulfill their roles and their obligations without having to violate their conscience as well.
Well, since that memo was issued by the Administrative Office of the Courts, and even before, we have seen several magistrates in North Carolina either retire or step down after being threatened with the loss of their jobs for not performing these same-sex ceremonies. And we've also heard reports of registers of deeds who are responsible for issuing marriage licenses in North Carolina facing similar religious liberty threats. What is ADF hearing from people of faith in other states where the courts have forced the redefinition of marriage on the people as they have done here in North Carolina?
On this specific issue, we've seen two cases. One comes out of Washington State and the other out of New York. And in both of those cases, the court concluded that it's not the duty of a judge to officiate marriages. So that if a judge chooses not to officiate at any marriages, then there really should be no issue. So it seems based on this precedent that the magistrate judges in North Carolina would be able to cease officiating in all marriages and then still be able to follow their conscience if it would violate their conscience to officiate at a same-sex ceremony, for example. So I think that the threat to religious freedom has increased across the country, but there are also courts have found ways to allow everyone to follow their conscience and to get what they need in order to maintain everyone's best interests.
Well, I think it's important for our listeners to understand that ADF really exists at the tip of the spear on these issues. You all are engaged all over the country in legal battles over the issue of marriage and religious liberty, and are also really working to provide sound advice to elected officials, appointed officials, and others who are being confronted with these very challenging issues. I know that on October the 16th, ADF issued a legal memo to registers of deeds in North Carolina in response to this religious liberty threat. The ADF memo states that registers of deeds who object to issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples are protected under the First Amendment. What are the specific protections for registers of deeds and their employees?
Well, under North Carolina, registers of deeds whose sincere religious or moral beliefs prevent them from issuing certain types of marriage license have the ability to appoint a deputy to perform that task under state law. So if a register of deeds should face a conflict of conscience, they should simply just appoint a deputy with the full authority to perform those acts, and that should resolve the situation and facilitate all parties' interests, because at the end of the day, no one should have to face that choice of violating their conscience or losing their job. There's enough ways to ensure that everyone essentially gets what they want and lives according to their beliefs at the end of the day. And both state and federal law protects North Carolina registers of deeds to be able to continue to work and to live according to their conscience.
Well, I know that the ADF memo that I referenced earlier also points out that federal Title VII requires employers, including the government, to, and I'll quote, reasonably accommodate the religious beliefs and practices of their employees. And according to the ADF memo, Title VII does apply to registers of deeds as it does to other government employees. Tell us about your thoughts on that.
Well, that's right. Registers of deeds are certainly, you know, not an exception to that rule. And essentially, Title VII tells employers that if they have a religious objection or have something that is required of them on the job, wherever possible, employers should reasonably accommodate their employees and their faith. And this is very common sense. Since the beginning of our country's foundation, there have been those who have had conscientious objection to a wide array of various things. And so it's yet again, in this context, it's simply very, very basic, very foundational that when an employee says, hey, you know, this is something that would violate my conscience, I can't do it, the employer should find the means and the accommodation to allow their employee to continue to practice and live their lives according to their beliefs and find another way. And almost always there is. And in this case, for the registers, deeds, they can simply appoint a deputy to issue the marriage license.
Considering your experience in other states that have had marriages of same-sex couples thrust upon them by the courts, as we have in North Carolina, are there other officials in addition to the magistrates and the registers of deeds that you have seen that have been confronted with this and potentially being forced to either violate their deeply held religious beliefs with respect to marriage or have to perform some types of services that in essence would acknowledge or grant some sort of recognition to these marriages?
Well, we've now issued a number of the legal memos to those responsible in the various states that have now had same-sex marriage imposed upon them by the courts. Oftentimes, it's the clerks of the court that are responsible for issuing marriage licenses. But in every state, we found, you know, that state law provides other avenues for the clerk to issue the marriage license, whether that's, assigning it to a deputy, or even in some states, you can appoint a judge or another government official to issue the license. And then also, I think it's important for your listeners to know that in most of the states we've looked at, and that includes North Carolina, you don't have to be a resident of North Carolina. You don't even have to obtain your marriage license from the same county as the county in which you plan to solemnize the marriage. So there are a lot of avenues that one could go down to obtain their marriage license and then to have it solemnized. There are many, many people authorized by state law to solemnize the marriage. There are ways to ensure that those seeking to marry can obtain their license, can get that marriage solemnized without forcing someone to do something, without forcing a clerk, without forcing a register of deeds to violate their conscience at the end of the day.
Well, taking a step back and looking at this issue from a bigger picture perspective, it really occurs to me that the lack of tolerance that we are seeing from homosexual activists on this issue is really disturbing, and I guess, unfortunately, it's not surprising. But in many cases, we have seen these individuals argue on one hand, as they did in one of the lawsuits that was brought in North Carolina, that not being able to marry same-sex couples violates their religious liberties and religious denominations and some religious leaders. But on the other hand, they are quick to attack and call for the resignation of magistrates and registers of deeds who, in good conscience, cannot participate in same-sex union ceremonies. It certainly seems like a double standard. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, tolerance should be a two-way street. That's the way that this country was started to work. That's the way it should work. What's interesting is in every case that we've litigated defending people of faith, people of conscience, who have been targeted, who have been tried to be, you know, coerced to violate their conscience, the same-sex couple in all these situations are always able to find what they want, whether it's to find the florist or to find the photographer or find someone to solemnize their marriage. They always get what they want, and yet even after they find that person, they come after and try to coerce those who have a different point of view to follow their agenda. And really, at the end of the day, we should be free to live according to our beliefs, free to live according to our conscience, without the government coming behind and coercing us to violate that. So we, you know, Alliance Defending Freedom, stand committed to defending people, to defending their right to follow their faith, to follow their conscience, and to live freely, so that we truly do live in a country where tolerance is a two-way street.
Well, that's becoming ever more important. I know in North Carolina, since the federal courts legalized same-sex unions here, the North Carolina Family Policy Council already has begun to receive calls from Christian business owners who are being confronted by same-sex couples, similar to the ones that you mentioned, the florists, the bakers, the bed and breakfast owners, and others who typically have businesses that are related to the wedding or marriage industry. Considering what has taken place in our nation and in the state of North Carolina, what encouragement or advice can you give to these business people and citizens across the state who are really, really concerned about what's happening and are looking down the road with the expectation that we're going to be seeing more and more of these types of confrontations?
Well, I would make two points. First, I would encourage folks to give Alliance Defending Freedom a call. We exist to serve you and to defend you and to ensure that your legal rights to operate according to your faith are protected. So whether it's working with your church or your ministry or your business, there are ways to ensure before the fact that you have as many protections in place for your business, for your school, for your ministry, so that it will be as strong as possible should it face an attack, or should it face some kind of coercive action by the government trying to force you to participate in something or, you know, facilitate an event that violates your conscience. And then secondly, I would say take hope. Do not be discouraged. These are difficult times and dark times, but we know at the end of the day who has won this battle already, and we have hope in Christ. And we know that when we stand for the truth, when we have the courage to do the right thing, we will be successful. Christ only calls us to be faithful, and that is the call that we're called to answer.
Well, amen to that. I completely agree with you. Now, Kelly, as our listeners, as individuals, as business owners, as churches and pastors and others across the state have concerns and are confronted with these challenging issues, how can they get in touch with you all at ADF?
Well, our website is alliancedefendingfreedom.org. And then you can also contact us at 1-800-TELL-ADF. And we have a great team at ADF that receives those calls and knows how to refer whatever that issue is to the right legal team here.
Well, and I can say firsthand that you all do just an incredible job of that. Kelly Fedorik, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for your great work at Alliance Defending Freedom.
Thank you, John. It was great to be with you.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.